Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to another wasted Saturday night. And I don't mean that you're wasted, although you might be wasted, but you're wasting a Saturday night, which would, I guess, make you wasted. Glenn, am I wasting time?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think we'll try to make this as productive as possible for everybody around and keep it nice and entertaining. I reckon we can manage that, don't you?
Well, it'll just be Glenn and I tonight, so we'll have to see, because Sarah is unable to make it tonight, so she'll be back next time. But we're going to be talking about, and this is Glenn's idea, and I think it's a good idea, we're going to be talking about why pop culture is not made for adults anymore, or at least generally is not made for adults anymore. But if you do want something that is made for adults, God, I'm seamless, aren't I, Glenn?
Absolutely.
If you do want something that is made for adults, you go to adamandeve.com. You use the promo code STATIC, and you would get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you order. You'd get 6 free DVDs. You would get a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free no Glenn shipping. And there's also the fact this isn't just for adults, but my friend Al Seeger, you go to drivethroughrpg.com. He has some great systems there. He had the systemless settings bundle, but he's not pushing that as much anymore. Go to drivethroughrpg.com and look at some of the cool role-playing game systems that Al Seeger has, and you'll find something interesting. Tell him that you heard it here on Static. That's where you heard about his stuff, and you'll get a light bulb joke. It'll make sense when it happens. So, Glenn, this was your idea. What prompted tonight's topic for you?
Well, there's a few things which really occurred to me. There's not least the article that you had recently in Frankly Green Bay.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Yes, it is. And the PG-13 thing was one of the inspirations. But the main thing, I was given a link on Facebook about my own government's, shall we say, shenanigans with the internet. Where they are basically trying to censor, shall we say, more adult material on the internet. And it got me to thinking about the various ways that what you could describe as adult entertainment, whether it be porn, whether it be those films and stories and themes that would be considered, you know, suitable for adults, is being whittled down, it's being watered down. We're getting films like the RoboCop remake, which was kind of neutered to make it fit a younger audience for financial reasons, whatever.
But in the case of the RoboCop remake, I think that actually proves your point, because that movie failed, and not just failed critically, it failed with audiences because they found out that almost all of their ticket sales, over 70% of the ticket sales for the RoboCop remake, were to people over 35.
Yes.
So by making it PG-13, you alienated the audience who was going to go see it anyway because the kids didn't give a shit. So that's a perfect example of how neutering it killed it for both audiences.
And that's just, it's got so common now that you've got filmmakers actually apologizing for their films. You look at Expendables 3, for instance, and you've got Sylvester Stallone going, it was completely the wrong way. We really, really shouldn't have gone that way. It was a stupid idea. It's like, well, duh. Yeah, I mean, we've been told this by the fans of these films, you know, whatever you think of Expendables 3, I think it's Expendables in general was not a terribly good series. However, its marketing, its market was basically for people like us who, you know, would like films like Commando, you know, plenty of violence,
people
and that kind of stuff.
Grew up in the 80s.
Exactly. I mean, that's the kind of thing they're trying to recapture. That's why half those fucking stars are in that film.
It's and because... half of them look like they're a wax dummy of themselves melting.
It's rather unfortunate, isn't it? There's an advert going around with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like an insurance advert. And oh my God. It's like you kind of look at him, you go, yeah, I know he's getting older and all that sort of thing, but his face seems to be getting flatter and flatter.
Mm-hmm. Well, but then you also had just this last week, Ryan Reynolds pulling an April Fool's thing where he had to go on Entertainment Tonight and guarantee that the Deadpool movie would be rated R because everyone was afraid, oh, God, they're going to make this PG-13. I'm not a fan of Deadpool, the character, but you can't do that character PG-13. That would be like saying, you know, this new Death Wish remake, mm-hmm. we're going to make this for all audiences. No!
And it's so frustrating when you get this stuff. Happening, you know, they just want to kind of go, oh yeah, it's for a bigger audience, and it's just absolutely the audience they're going for, they can't do what the film demands, and that's just absolutely frustrating. When you look at something like the film I reviewed just recently, 50 Shades of Grey, whatever you think of the book, that film needed to be an R-rated film. It needed to be kind of like really sort of, it needed to be stronger than that. It needed to be an NC-17, really. But of course, in America, NC-17 is the kiss of death when it comes to a commercial film. And that's the problem. When they take a film like that and they try to dumb it down to make the audience, make it fit for an audience which is much wider, it's killing the story, it's killing the film. And that's a massive problem with that kind of thing. It's supposed to be an adult subject. It's intrinsically an adult subject. How do you do that and try and water it down? I don't understand that thinking. It's ridiculous to me.
It's not a new concept, though, because a while ago on Radiodrome, we did an episode called The Scarlet Letter of R, mm-hmm. which was how about the R rating has now become almost a scarlet letter in Hollywood. That if you make your movie R-rated, you will not make your money back. And I don't have all the stats in front of me anymore, but I looked at various years from the 70s through 2013, and the number of R-rated movies that are being made is on a sharp decline, and a number of PG-13 movies is on a rise. I mean, hell, in 2013, there were only two films in the top 20 grossing films of 2013 that were rated R, and one of those was number 19 mm-hmm. of the top 20. That it was all of the rest were PG and PG-13. Mm-hmm. It's adults are not being catered to anymore. An adult doesn't mean porn anymore. Yes, when we were growing up, if you said an adult movie, you were talking about a porno. Not so much now. Now you look at like the Clint Eastwood movies of the 80s, or you look at the Charles Bronson flicks, or most of Cannon's output. Those were adult movies made for adults, mm-hmm. and they were not porn.
No, and this is the whole kind of thing, though, isn't it? It's like, I do wonder if it's because Hollywood has essentially forsaken that audience for such a long time in the pursuit of the dollar. That adults aren't particularly going to the cinema anymore. I don't think that's necessarily the case, though. But I mean, part of the thing is you've got these companies releasing all these films, and they want to make the big bucks on the cinema release because that's where the cachet is. You know, when it comes to publicity and that kind of stuff, is it's made X amount at the cinemas. Not so much on DVDs. They don't really kind of mention that kind of stuff. But of course, you wait 6-8 months a year, the DVD comes out, and there's always those two versions, there's the rated and the unrated version, which is just bizarre, in my opinion. You know, I don't think the director has an awful lot of say in these things anymore. It's just kind of ridiculous. It boggles my mind, to be quite honest.
Well, it's the same thing with TV, really, when you break it down, that In a strange way, TV has gone the opposite direction. Like, you know, you'll notice that the cable shows are getting harder and harder and, you know, more and more graphic, and the networks kind of have to keep up. Do you notice that the family – there are no family-friendly shows on the networks anymore outside of, like, game shows and reality shows? Like, you know, in the early 2000s, you had Touched by an Angel and Promised Land, and you had shows on CBS where people could gather around and watch with their families. You don't have that anymore, do you?
It certainly seems to be a very different situation. Obviously, I don't have the same networks as you have in America, and over here it's slightly different because we still have the traditional kind of broadcast channels. I mean, you've got all the kind of Sky stuff, which carries like the HBO shows and that kind of thing. And but yeah, certainly with the output that's coming over here from America, whether it's, you know, the likes of Breaking Bad and all that kind of stuff, which are great series, but yeah, you wouldn't really want to be showing it to your 13-year-old nephew, for instance. That would be probably a little bit out there. And I think it is important that when it comes to the kind of output these companies are putting out, they really ought to be catering for all sorts of audiences, but you don't try to water it all down to one end. You know, it's a good argument for having a balance, a proper balance of different types of output. So you have the stuff which is, you know, earlier on in the evening, which is family friendly. Then you have the stuff which is later on in the evening, which is, you know, geared towards the adults. That's a healthy output.
But now, you being in England, you may not be familiar with this. In 1979 and 1980, eventually this was deemed as violating FCC rules, even though the FCC made it. Do you know what in America was called the family viewing hour?
I don't know.
The networks decided that there was too much going on, there was too much violence in shows like SWAT and The Rookies, and All in the Family was too graphic and, you know, for TV and whatnot. The FCC dictated that the first hour of prime time every night had to be completely family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was essentially neutering all of these shows that were in that first hour, or successful shows such as The Rookies, which was very violent for its time, got moved out of their 7 p.m. time slot to 9 p.m., and then their ratings tanked.
Mm-hmm.
That, do you think mandating the family-friendly hour was probably a big mistake, or do you think it was just implemented wrong, or is the ideal kind of corrupt, that we will make sure all of the family can enjoy, you know, the first hour of programming? Shouldn't that be up to the network? Shouldn't the market be able to find its own level?
Well, yeah. Obviously, that's kind of important that the companies are able to pitch themselves to whatever audience they feel is beneficial to them, I guess. You know, I mean, if that sounds a little overly commercial. And but, I mean, over here, the situation is you have what's called the 9 o'clock watershed. So everything before 9 o'clock at night is essentially family friendly. It gets a little bit stronger as it goes throughout that part.
You guys can show tits on the news. What the hell?
yeah, probably get a few more complaints these days, but yeah, you can. But like, you know, I mean, we've said this before, there's a certain difference in the culture between Europe and America, in that we're a little bit less worried about, you know, brief nudity. Generally speaking, you won't see tits on the telly before 9 o'clock at night. So they tend to try to keep it a little bit sort of safer for everyone. And I hate that. I hate that phrase. It's safe.
Won't somebody please awful? Think of the children, Glenn?
Yeah. It sounds so awful, doesn't it? It's like kind of, oh, it's safe. It's family safe. And it's like, oh. It just sounds like this horrible, bland kind of level of entertainment. And I'm a big one for entertainment being, you know, it should be kind of pitched at the right level for whatever audience is likely to be watching it, but it also needs to be a little bit challenging.
Well, but then, you know, you also brought up that, you know, in previous episodes that you guys are a little more sensitive to violence than you are mm-hmm. nudity, you know, hence all the BBFC nonsense and hell, the your entire YouTube channel, really.
Yes.
But like over here, we had the government deciding what Americans can and cannot read, like Hustler magazine. Larry Flint was arrested for selling Hustler magazines in Cincinnati, Ohio, to adults while checking IDs. That they decided, no, Hustler, even adults are not allowed to decide whether they want to read Hustler. And I think that is when you are really stepping over the bounds of why can't adults decide what an adult wants? You know, like you've got that with video games. Before the ESRB rating system, you had Charles Band putting out like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game and Custer's Revenge and all that. Those were done by when he had Wizard Games, and those were declared legally obscene. I mean, it's kind of funny how we look at it, and it's literally just pixeled blobs. But these games were considered obscene to the point where even selling them to adults was illegal.
Yeah, and that's when it comes to computer games, especially, you know, back in those days, they were looking at computer games as being, you know, for the kids. And I think that's part of the reason why they kind of took such exception to it. It wasn't looked at by the people who were doing the censoring as being something that was potentially aimed at people like them. It was always going to be aimed at, you know, age 20 and below. And, you know, as far as they were concerned, they were worried about 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 8-year-olds playing these games.
But young kids are going to get it anyway.
Absolutely.
I don't know if how much penetration, no pun intended, Hustler has in the UK. Every male I grew up with, we all somehow got our hands on a Hustler magazine long, long before we were legally able to buy one.
Hustler wasn't – I don't really think it was that particularly big over here. I mean, it's Penthouse and all that kind of stuff going on.
You'd only read it for
the articles.
Yeah. over here in America, Hustler was – you know, Playboy was the kind of the aristocrat. And then Penthouse was sort of the dirty aristocrat. And then Hustler was that whore because Hustler was the graphic one. Hustler was the magazine that you went to when you wanted to see the stuff that you could not see anywhere else. Hustler was other than the magazine Jugs, which proudly put on its cover the world's dirtiest tit mag, Hustler was probably the dirtiest outside of specific fetish magazines in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we had our equivalents of those kind of things over him. Hustler was possibly on there. I don't particularly remember seeing it up there. But I do remember going into a lot of the little corner shops, little convenience stores, and you'd get the absolutely rammed full top shelf of porn. And I remember even as a kid kind of like looking up and going, wow. Just kind of, it was kind of a weird experience, I think, sort of going into these places. It's not so much these days. You go to
the internet has spoiled us all, Glenn.
A little bit, I think a little bit. There's certainly a lot of the mystery has been taken out of it. And it's arguable whether that's a good or a bad thing, I guess. But certainly it doesn't feel like the... like it's quite as
when you're using the telephoto lens and I can almost see her kidneys, yeah, the mystery's gone.
It has rather, hasn't it? And that's a little bit of a shame, really. That's getting us back on track a little bit, I guess.
I wanted to mention quick, like you guys have 2000 AD and, you know, the Judge Dredd books and stuff like that. And while I would say, I don't – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Those are meant for youths. those are very graphic. I mean, Judge Dredd's blowing people's heads off constantly and whatnot. You know, Strontium Dog is you know, rending people limb from limb and all this. But those are still considered youth comics. I don't know how much penetration Heavy Metal had, the magazine, not the music, but that Heavy Metal had over there. But over here, Heavy Metal was the equivalent. That it was an adult magazine. It had tits. It had swearing. And it was always sold in the porno section of the bookstore. But at the same time, at least the bookstore here, they would let us, long before we were 18, they wouldn't let us buy a Hustler. We couldn't buy a Beaver Hunt. We couldn't buy Barely Legal. But they wouldn't mind if we bought Heavy Metal because they considered it a comic book. Is that kind of part of the problem as well, that sometimes the medium itself is considered so non-adult that even adult entertainment in that medium kind of gets misidentified?
Absolutely. I mean, like we were talking with computer games and or video games, this medium is directed towards a younger audience. At least it has the expectation that it's directed towards a younger audience. And there's always that transitional period between when it has been taken up by the younger audience and when the adults kind of take over it. And when you're talking like video, for instance, when video, VHS, Betamax, all that sort of stuff came out, it was primarily young people that picked it up in the first place, which is why there was such a stink kicked up about it. It's because, because the people that were complaining about it weren't the people that were going to go out and actually take this stuff, hire this stuff out. So they kind of looked at it and went, oh, it's the youth over there. You know, we're worried about them. And, you know, censorship in general, the history of censorship has been absolutely blighted with this, oh, my God, the youth or the great unwashed are basically running around out there and they've got access to this material.
Isn't that the exact argument of the video nasties? That adults shouldn't be... I remember seeing a news report. I don't think it was on the nasties, but 2020 did one back in 1984 called The Horror on Your TV, which I can send you a copy of if you want to see it. It's fascinating.
Yes.
Where one of the parents was arguing that I don't think anyone should be seeing this material, let alone my kids. So she wanted like Evil Dead 2 and whatnot, or Evil Dead banned, because she didn't like it that even adults should not be able to see this. And isn't that the same attitude that Mary Whitehouse and whatnot had with the nasties, that nobody should be able to see these, but the argument was still because of the children?
Oh, absolutely. And if you remember that on Radiodrome when I appeared on that episode.
God damn, that was like 2 years ago. Jesus.
It was, yeah.
Remember that?
There's that clip that she had from Mary Whitehouse, who's essentially saying anybody who watches this, even if they're an adult, is not in their right mind. it's literally because these people like Mary Whitehouse, weren't into that kind of stuff. And if you look into other mediums, whether it's comic books, so I went through the same thing here back in the I think it was the 50s and the 60s. You had the Penny Dreadfuls and all that kind of stuff. It was aimed at a younger audience, and of course the establishment and the older folks looked at this stuff and went, no, we can't have this because, you know, we don't understand it, therefore they can't understand it. And the thing is, a lot of this stuff, you know, when you're talking about the kind of films, the kind of comics, or whatever medium that these people were complaining about, they're sort of aimed at, you know, maybe 15 to 25-ish sort of age range. So it's not like these are absolutely brain-dead, completely inexperienced people. These are people that usually can kind of, you know, distinguish reality from unreality, all that kind of stuff.
I'm not so sure about that, because do you remember back in the early 90s, the Two Live Crew incident?
I don't know. It rings a bell, though.
Two Live Crew was a rap group Their album was called Nasty As They Wanna Be. It was declared legally obscene in the state of Florida. Of course, Florida. You know, I don't know what the joke area of England is, but Florida is America's punchline at this point. But it was declared so legally obscene. It's a rap album. So it's just words to a beat that a judge said, if you perform these songs live, you will be arrested. And so Two Live Crew performed the songs live and they were arrested for performing music for adults. IDs were checked at the door. No children were allowed, and they didn't even allow 18-year-olds. Because it was a drinking establishment, you had to be 21 to get in. Absolutely no children. So the state of Florida decided this rap music cannot be ingested by adults. That is where you go, what the fuck is the matter with you people?
Isn't it a funny thing? I get so many comments on the writing that I do about this kind of stuff. And they go, I get a lot of comments from American commenters, I guess, that go, there's no censorship in America. There's not this, that, or the other. You know, you kind of go, yeah, there is. There really is. And it's it's quite amazing sometimes. Stories like what you've just told me actually do happen in America, and I'm guessing they're still happening in one scale or another.
Well, and you know, sometimes it happens when it comes to music with not the music, but what happens on stage, like Wendy O. Williams and the Plasmatics. Wendy O. Williams was arrested in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for masturbating with a sledgehammer. She took her panties off on stage, and you gotta realize how wide a sledgehammer handle is, so that she didn't get it in, but she pretended while she was nude to put the sledgehammer inside her, and she was arrested for performing a lewd act on stage. Again, at a concert for adults.
Yes. And it's amazing, isn't it? It's like there's this, especially something like that, where you can regulate that kind of stuff, the audience that's going in. You can regulate the kind of people who are going to be exposed to this material. I'm assuming in the case of
it's
this,
it's all willing too. You buy a ticket. It's not like you're forced, like a school assembly. You have to be there.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that the people that were in the audience were aware of the kind of act that this person puts on.
Are you unfamiliar with Wendy O. Williams?
I'm totally unfamiliar. I've never heard of. But,
oh, God. I am going to have so much fun sending you YouTube links later. Wendy Williams once did a porno where she shot ping pong balls out of her hooey into a guy's mouth. I'm not kidding.
That's entertainment.
Damn straight. It was a parody of the Gong Show. I think it was the Bong Show. But yeah, if you go to a Plasmatics concert, you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
The Plasmatics was nobody's first band. Let's put it that way.
No. Now, the thing is, I mean, who the hell is that going to harm? Are they going to go, oh, my God, I'm going to go home and try that? I mean, maybe they do. I mean, whatever they do in their own bloody time, you know, as long as it's not running around shooting people, fine. It amazes me. It actually upsets me to a great degree that this is the sort of stuff that governments are worried about. This is the sort of stuff that authorities are worried about. They don't seem to be quite as worried about their own behavior, the things that they do in the name of their country, the things that they do internationally or domestically, where there are real life consequences that do devalue society.
Do you know what the real obscenity is? Government corruption. The real obscenity is Nestle stealing all of California's water right now as we say this. California is in the middle of a major, major drought to the point where citizens are being told to only flush your toilet when you have to. You can only water your lawn 2 days a week lest you be fined. Yet the company Nestle is still able to bottle all of the water that they sell from municipal sources. That's the shit that's offensive to me. Not some chick sticking anal beads up her ass while she comes. That's not offensive.
No, I mean, and what is more degrading to society? Is it somebody, like you say, shooting ping pong balls out their vagina? Or is it policemen shooting?
Out of their hooey.
Yeah. out of... Popping them out, the cunts. or is it when you've got authority physically killing people on the streets for no particular reason, just because they're pissed off? Is it our governments going around in various countries? Good example. Your Republican Party basically running around sending letters to the Iranian government, but while there's negotiations going on. I thought that was a beautiful thing.
That was treasonous.
Yes, but absolutely it was. But you got that kind of stuff going on, and they go, "Oh well, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. We can do all that kind of stuff. That's not an issue. That doesn't have any real world consequences."
But Charles Ratner said "fuck" on Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Yeah. And who does that hurt? Oh, you might get a couple of teenagers running down the street going, "Oh, fuck you."
Yes, because kids are big. We're big Saturday Night Live fans in the 80s, right?
Yeah. And it's this weird kind of like, oh, we've got to look out for this kind of pop culture which is going on. That's what's degrading society. Not this stuff which is going on, which actually has real world consequences, which disenfranchises everybody other than the top, 1%, 5%, 10%, whatever. And that's the real kind of sickening part of it. It's this sort of misdirection which is going on. And this has always been a massive thing when it comes to these kind of outrages. It tends to be a misdirection, whether it's worrying about the effects of porn on children, whether it's horror films that are degrading society, whether it's music, which is introducing these ideas to impressionable youths. That's, in my opinion, a very, very minor thing. It's not, I can't say it doesn't have any effect, but I think the stuff which is going on, which is much more important, which is much more relevant, which actually has much more real life impact, i.e. the politics of the world, which is going on, whether it be local or international.
Well, but then you also have words being censored. Mm-hmm. You have words that there are words adults can't say. Like, on TV, you can say shit now, mm-hmm. but you still can't say fuck. You know, George Carlin and Lenny Bruce were both arrested for saying things to adult audiences, Glenn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You remember that in the 70s? George Carlin, he performed his 7 words you can't say on TV bit and was not even on TV and was arrested for it. Lenny Bruce actually was arrested for obscene speech so many times, an interviewer once asked him, "How many times have you been arrested?" And his response was, "In which state?"
Yeah, it is. What is it about a word that is so damned offensive? Because, at worst, what's going to happen? People are going to go down the street in their day-to-day lives and they're going to say these words. What is the actual real-world impact of that? And this is the thing. When you've got kind of films which are coming out and they're being neutered, whether it be for violence or language or sex and all this kind of stuff, it's such a strange thing to say, you've got all this stuff, it degrades society. No, it really...
Censorship degrades society.
Yeah, absolutely it does. I mean, you put all these things away in this kind of tiny little cupboard and say, you can't go in there, you can't see this stuff, you can't hear this stuff. The only thing it does is make it more alluring, it makes it more powerful.
Well, and the power of words is very interesting because you and I were talking about this before the show, but I wasn't recording yet, that even made-up words have power. Back on NYPD Blue pushed so many boundaries for language in the early 90s for what you could and could not say. And that they were getting so many letters from the network censors of what you what Sipowicz can and cannot say. And eventually, writer David Milch just made up a word. The line was, so he was rubbing all up and down in your gunya. He made up gunya. And the censors said, you can't say that. He's like, but I made that up. That's a word that doesn't exist. And the censors told him point blank, but coming out of Sipowicz's mouth, it's too filthy. So he literally made up a word that was too filthy for television. That is mind-boggling, Glenn.
Yeah, and this is actually very telling on the mindset of the censorious, that there's this little world that goes on in their heads where these offensive things are kind of magnified and made much, much more important.
They're seeing offensive things everywhere, whether they're actually there.
Yeah, and, you know...
Phantom offenses, if you will.
Yeah, and it's just like, it doesn't kill the thing that is supposedly offensive. It doesn't get rid of it. It just makes it live on. Video nasties, perfect example. You know, 3/4 of those films would have disappeared if it hadn't been for the fact that it'd been on a list. And we've been told...
I think you and I can agree on a critical level. Mm-hmm. Most of the video nasties, at least in my opinion, at least 2/3 of them, were not very good movies. And they only are considered classics today because they were banned.
I think they would have been forgotten very quickly. I've gone through, like, well, I mean, not to bog us down in that kind of thing for too long. I've gone through all of them. And there's a lot of them that do have, you know, very good things to say. That there's things going on, and that makes them worthwhile. But the thing is, they would have been forgotten. Even the good, lots of the good ones that just weren't as well known, they would have disappeared. They would have gone into the ether because people wouldn't have cared about them. And this whole idea that you go, oh yeah, we have to kind of make these things the demon. It's the same with porn and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, porn these days is so throwaway. But it's being made to be this much more desirable thing because the government are going, you can't see this. You can't see this. And I don't know if you know too much about the internet situation at the moment in the UK. I don't know if you saw the video I did about that.
Is this the porn filter one or the new one that David Cameron is trying to make even harsher rules?
Yeah. At the moment, he's rattling his saber saying, I will absolutely enforce all these ideas that we had. But you got this list of things, these prohibitions.
No face sitting, no fisting,
no spanking other than the lightest spankings.
Yeah, it's so arbitrary. When I not just your video, but when I read these, some of the things are so arbitrarily specific. I had a funny picture in my head of the people sitting around, old white men in suits and ties, figuring out just how many spanks is too many and whatnot.
Yeah. It's how hard they hit as well. It's like kind of. What, you're going to have some sort of shock meter in there?
no female orgasms?
If spank hits a certain kind of, you know, decibel level and a certain pitch, is that the problem? And I get the horrible feeling there's some money involved in it somewhere along the line for the people who are putting these things in place. But the overall effect of this thing is that people will find ways of circumventing and looking for this stuff, particularly specifically looking for this stuff, because the government have gone, you can't see this, you can't look at this stuff. And it's all done under the guise of, it's because of the kids, it's because of the kids. And
the kids want to see it more than anyone else.
The thing is, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm going, I'm over 40 year old, I'm an adult, I don't have any children. Why the fuck can't I watch this stuff if I choose to watch it? And if the providence of this stuff is of a agreeable nature, i.e. it's being made by people who are willing to make it. You know, and because you got this whole BDSM thing sort of going on in these blocks and stuff. If you're into that, why the fuck can't you watch it? If it's made by people who have entirely agreed that they want to participate in this thing. And as I understand it, I'm personally not into that kind of end of things. But as I understand it, there's quite often like an interview section where they say, well, you know, we agreed to do this, that and the other. And, you know, this isn't rape. It's kind of it's play.
You'll also be surprised, at least in the professional angle of that, just how fake it all is.
Mm-hmm.
I can send you some behind the scenes footage of just how fake all of that stuff is. Mm-hmm. It is literally acting from frame one.
Yeah, but then again, that's true of an awful lot of porn. It's a show. At the end of the day, it's a show. You've got people who are often, you know, paid to be there. They're doing a job. They're kind of like it's not like the candid stuff necessarily. Of course, there is that stuff out there on the internet if you want it. but you can usually tell if it's somebody who's participating and if it's someone who's been coerced into doing this stuff. I personally think it's fairly obvious when it's one thing or the other.
Well, and there's also one other aspect here. The difference between art and smut, porn, whatever, because they always nowadays they label everything porn, torture porn, you know, this is action movie porn, this is destruction porn. The word porn has been made to kind of be the go-to evil. But what they don't realize is that porn is art as well. Mm-hmm. For instance, are you familiar at all with Jello Biafra and H.R. Giger's obscenity trial in 1984 over the Dead Kennedys album Frankenchrist, which had an H.R. Giger poster included with it, the poster Penis Landscape?
No, I haven't. I've not come across that.
Okay, a 12-year-old bought the album. This is before the stickers. A 12-year-old bought the album and saw Penis Landscape is, you know, H.R. Giger's art. It's a bunch of rotting penises going into a bunch of rotting vaginas in that beautiful biomechanical H.R. Giger style. And the kid was offended, and they went to the DA, and Jello Biafra was prosecuted. H.R. Giger couldn't be because he was a Swiss citizen, so the San Francisco district attorney had no sway over Giger. So he prosecuted Jello Biafra for this, but not over the poster.
Mm-hmm.
He started bringing into evidence the lyrics on the album and things like that. And he had such a telling quote where he told a newspaper reporter said that, but Patti Smith has the same type of lyrics in her songs. I quote, "Patti Smith is a real artist. Jello Biafra only makes smut." So what he was essentially saying was, if Patti Smith had the same poster and had the same lyrics, it would be art. Jello Biafra is not protected by art because he does punk rock.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same with horror films. That horror films are somehow not art. Whereas if it's a film made by Jean-Luc Godard, that it is art. There's a snobbery. There's always been a snobbery when it comes to that kind of stuff, when it comes to categorizing what it is, the nature of these kind of art forms. And I'm going to call them art forms because that's what they are. So, yeah, if it's aimed at a certain type of audience, then it's pop culture, and pop culture is kind of, you know, game for any kind of lawsuit possible.
A perfect example, Glenn, Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac.
Mm-hmm.
He is on record saying that even though there is penetrative sex, on-screen orgasms by all the actors, he was very clear, this is not porn, this is art. The only way you can interpret that statement is, Oh, Steven Sayadian? That's not art. The Dark Brothers? That's not art. Cecil Howard? That's not art. That's porn. I make art. That is one of the most condescending fucking things I have ever heard about porn.
Mm-hmm.
That no. When I make it, it's art. When you make it, it's porn.
Yeah, and Michael Winterbottom's Nine Songs, for instance. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
I'm just thinking Winterbottom is a fantastic game.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It's perfect porn director name. Essentially, the film is it kind of chronicles the relationship between these two people, and on a very basic level, you can look at it and it goes little bit of story, sex, music video, little bit of story, sex, music video, and it kind of works like that. Some people have, you know, kind of says it's just porn dressed up as art and all that kind of stuff.
Porn is art. It might be crude art, but porn is art.
Yeah, it's speech at the very least.
I don't know necessarily speech. I would say expression.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I mean by, you know, it's a form of expression. It's a form of communication. Porn in my books tends to be something which is specifically and uniquely kind of aimed towards making you aroused. That's its one and only
It plays to the
purpose.
Prurient interest.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
And I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that's something which is a negative.
There's clearly a market for it.
Absolutely. And,
But people don't see porn as art. I don't know how the legal situation was in the UK with this, but in America, until 1974, you couldn't even copyright a porn film because it was not considered a piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
The Mitchell brothers had to go before Congress and lobby. They had to go before a judge and finally say that Behind the Green Door was art.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you couldn't even copyright porn before 1974. How fucking bizarre is that? That, you can make this movie where you kill a bunch of people. That you can copyright because that's art. But a bunch of people coming on each other willingly, that's not art. That's a bizarre statement in and of itself, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I completely guarantee you that the people who they had to lobby to were consumers of in one form or another. So the kind of people that they were having to convince in Congress.
It's really sad why porn was copyrightable.
Why is that?
The mob was bootlegging porn films, and the U.S. Justice Department said because you can't copyright it, they're not doing anything illegal. If we allow these people to copyright it, then we can go after the mob for racketeering by violating copyright laws. It was literally a scheme to get the mob. That's how sad it is that the only reason porn is considered art is so the mob could get taken down. That's how fucked our system here is, Glenn.
Yeah. And it's when it comes to that, whether it's porn or whether it's just adult-themed films, this infantilization of the people who are likely to watch it is just incredible, and it's sad, and it's quite retarding, I think, to society to treat people like that. You look at somewhere like Amsterdam, for instance, where it's very liberal when it comes to sex. You know, you can go to a brothel legally. You can go to sex cinemas legally. You can smoke pot legally. You can do all this kind of stuff. And the society hasn't collapsed in the slightest.
Actually, they have one of the best economies out there, too.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not like these – you kind of look at these kind of examples of where this stuff happens, and the politicians have this amazing blinkered kind of approach. This, it's like, oh yeah, well, they're different. I think John Oliver, when he did when he was on the Daily Show, he did a great article, but it's like a 3-part series of videos, where he was talking about gun control. And it's a very similar kind of approach. Oh yeah, they're different over there. They're different over there. And you kind of go, well, no, they're not. They're really not any different to where you are. It's just your opinion of those people is different. So, yeah, the whole kind of like, oh yeah, they might be different over there, so they can handle it. And isn't that absolutely insulting? Isn't that absolutely kind of?
It's insulting to both parties, to both sides, really.
Yeah, it's insulting to say, well, they can handle it, but you guys can't. My peers, the people that have voted me in, you people can't handle this stuff.
You can't handle the truth.
How the hell is it that you know, particularly in America, which is kind of like, you know, a society of people who go, yeah, we can, you know, we're all about liberty and freedom and all that kind of stuff. We can make our own decision. Small government, yada yada yada. Oh no. But you take care of this smut for us. What the fuck is that about?
Well, I think what the fuck is that about is the perfect ending for this episode, because I want the audience to ask that question. And I also want the audience to email us. What do you think? Are Glenn and I way too liberal on this? Are we too conservative? Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com and let us know. Or Glenn, if people wanted to, where could they find you?
You can find me on YouTube as LampyMan101, and you can find me on Geek Juice Media.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com and the aforementioned 1201beyond@gmail.com. And Glenn, I don't censor you here. Don't you like
that? Thank God for that. Absolutely.
So I'm just going to end the show with saying, fuck!
Government of the people, for the people, by the people.
Earlier today, a Broward County appellate court judge has upheld the previous ruling to ban the sale of Viagra Group to Triadrews Double Platinum Album, nasty as they want to be in Broward County.
We think it's the banning of free speech. First Amendment protects material, presumptively.
We don't talk about harassing and sexually brutalizing women in my music, man. We don't do that in my music, man. I'm tired of you saying that.
We've got white collar people trying to crap our style, saying we're too nasty and we're too live. Corrupted politicians playing games, bringing us down to boost their fame. They must be joking, thinking we were poor, but they're like flies moving the wall. We stand tall from beginning to end, with help from fans and all our friends. Freedom of speech will never die, for us to have our ancestors died. Don't keep thinking that we will quit, we'll always stand and never sit. We're too live, too black, too strong, doing the right thing and not the wrong. So listen up, y'all, to what we say, we won't be banned in the USA. Your brother get as rich as you. This is the 90s and we're coming on strong, saying things and doing things that you're saying's wrong. Wising up, cause on election day we'll see who's banned in the USA.
show in Hollywood, those were 21 and older people. They had police out there carding the people coming in the club, and they still arrested us for performing in the front of adults.
What is this? Is this not America? This is not China. This is not Russia. This is not the place where they brought down the wall. This is America. We have the right to say what we want to say. We have the right to do what we want to do. And what I do in my house, you might not do in your house. So what I do in my house is my business. And the simple fact of it all is that we are bonded by the First Amendment. We have the freedom of expression. We have the freedom of choice. And you, Chinese, black, green, purple, Jew, you have the right to listen to whoever you want to, and even the Two Live Crew. Two Live Crew. Two Live Crew. So all you right-wingers, left-wingers, bigots, communists, there is a place for you in this world, because this is the land of the free, the home of the brave, and Two Live is what we are.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.